comes the sun. Here comes the sun. And I say, it's alright. Hello, everybody. Good morning, or good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Happy Earth Day to everybody out there.
Earth Day 2020, April 22nd.
The first and hopefully only COVID Earth Day.
The COVID Earth Day of 2020.
We wanted to play out that song in honor of...
In light of everything going on.
Yes, in light of everything going on. And there is quite a lot going on, isn't there? I mean, today is not only Earth Day, it's the 50th anniversary of Earth Day.
Sure is.
I feel like slightly happy that the Earth is feeling happy right now.
Yeah.
Under terrible circumstances, of course, but... The earth is slowly, slowly healing, and the sun is shining, and it feels like a beautiful day for it to be Earth Day.
Yeah,
what
really,
do you think?
It really does. I don't know, the skies have never been cleaner.
Yeah. Wildlife is thriving, as we've spoken about in the past. But
yeah.
More specifically, I woke up and I wanted to play that song today because here comes the sun. It was raining yesterday, ironically, and today is outstandingly beautiful. And Rob shared with me something that I don't know why, but I had no idea that this song is dedicated to all the COVID patients out there.
Yeah, they're letting a lot of the COVID patients that recover. So they're playing that song when they get to leave the hospital.
That's beautiful.
A lot of doctors and nurses and people are playing that song
as COVID patients are being released, and they have fought, and they deserve the right to walk out of that hospital.
And they open that door, and there's the sun.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I do apologize. Our hearts are a little heavy when... talking about this. I do want to not put a sad spin on this podcast, but we're so grateful for everybody that has been listening, and I do want to dedicate this time through all of our little shout outs we have going on to I will try to not get emotional, but to give a huge shout out to my Uncle Johnny, who, he was a remarkable man, my dad's older brother. He was 68 years old with Down syndrome. And I think it's only right on such an amazing day to dedicate that song, dedicate Earth Day, dedicate this podcast to all the COVID patients out there. And unfortunately, my uncle was not able to fight this virus off. But I do want to talk about the good. He was my favorite person, let me tell you. I've never met anybody who smiled more, who loved dancing more than my Uncle Johnny. And I do apologize for being slightly emotional. Who knows how this will sound, but it doesn't matter, does it, Rob?
No, it's all right. Yeah, he definitely put a smile on my face every time I got to see him.
Gosh, he was the best, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Some of his favorite things were the simplest things. He's a cheap date, let me tell you. You go to the dollar store, you get him some shampoo and conditioner, which he called Papoo.
Papoo!
And he is happier than ever. You get him some crayons colored pencils, and It could be plain paper, it could be a coloring book, you name it, he loved it. He loved clocks, which was his code word for watches. He loves a new clock. My Uncle Johnny. He really, my entire life growing up, was always a reminder and an inspiration to appreciate the little things in life. And I'm not just saying that. I wouldn't change my family and my life any other way. I loved growing up with an uncle who had Down syndrome. He was amazing. He wasn't high functioning, but wasn't low functioning. He definitely knew what was going on. He had a great head on his shoulders. He always loved the ladies, let me tell you.
He had girlfriends all over the place.
Yeah, my Uncle John. But, yeah, some of the few things that he loved. John Wayne, WWE wrestling, backpacks.
Monkeys.
So, I do want to lift our hearts and just let my Uncle Johnny know that we're thinking of him and the sun is shining wherever he is with my grandparents.
Yes.
So, with a happy heart, happy Earth Day, and welcome to episode 4.
Yes.
To keep it moving Emily and Rob.
A happy welcome to episode 4 on this remarkable and memorable and historic Earth Day.
It's truly amazing, isn't it? The social media feeds are flooded with nothing but appreciation for this earth, and I couldn't be happier seeing it.
Yeah.
People posting, people understanding, people realizing that our earth needs help.
This is a planet, like, we come from Earth.
Absolutely. We
are Earth. Humanity is part of Earth. We forget, most people listening, you, yes, I'm talking to you.
Out there.
Probably don't even realize that you're an animal.
It's remarkable, isn't it?
Just sit with that.
Yeah.
Don't even realize you're an animal. Wholly dependent on all other living things to live.
Whether you're vegetarian, vegan, anything, you're still eating plants that come from this earth.
You're breathing.
Breathing the oxygen.
The oxygen is pumping through your blood.
Yep. Couldn't live without it, that's for sure. That's a given.
Darwinism's theory of evolution, quote-unquote, the survival of the fittest, is being updated nowadays. Evolution is not just the survival of the fittest. Evolution is 100% wholly dependent on cooperative and sustainable and mutualistic relationships between different species. Flowers would not exist without pollinating insects.
Mm-hmm.
Apples wouldn't exist without primates to eat them. Bananas.
Yeah.
Wouldn't exist without primates to eat them. You know, everything exists in service to other things in the ecosystem.
That's a great way to put it. Everything exists in service to something else.
Everything is giving something else to a different species.
Absolutely. The food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are acting in service to your higher predator. Now, what do we give to this earth?
I don't know. I'm kind of wrestling with that a little bit. I think I have a few ideas, but
do you want to share one?
Probably not formulated yet.
Now, these are just Rob Fregosi's ideas.
What do we give? I don't know. I could probably come up with a better answer if I spent some time with it, but
I mean, we could come back to it.
Well, I mean, on a surface, I think this is very just speculative.
Okay.
But I think what humanity gives Earth believe it or not, and this is going to sound just like so Rob.
I'm ready.
Humanity is driven to travel to the stars.
Okay.
Since the origins of humanity on the plains of Africa and across all ancient civilizations, since the very beginning of what it means to be human, we have been staring at the night sky in awe and building our societies and our cultures and our religions and our understandings of our place.
Yeah. By looking up.
Based off of the night sky. Based off of looking up.
Interesting.
That's been with humanity since day one. The night sky.
Right.
I mean, the pyramids. The Mayans, the Egyptians.
I was just going to say that.
Every ancient society was obsessed with the night sky.
I mean, it gives you something to do. There's quite a lot to look at.
Yeah. And today... we are driven to
explore,
go to the moon,
in
and to
search
go
of
to
other
Mars.
Life. We are so driven to find life, to find any type of existence
that
out
is the
there.
Thing. That is the thing. Why are we so driven and why are we so interested in one thing and one thing only, kind of, when we think of space? And that one thing is other life.
Right. But I mean, think about it. That relates back to everything, whether you're a plant, whether you're an animal, always has the will to live, will fight for their survival.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that today. I want to talk about desire.
Ooh, all right. But it's remarkable. I mean, that's essentially the definition of what evolution is. How can I evolve to stay alive?
Yeah.
Think about, we're surrounded by desert plants. They're sharp, they're hard. They had to figure out a way to store the little bit of water that they have. Everything is pointy.
Yeah, everything out here is pointy and wants to kill you if you touch it.
If you touch it. And I know firsthand what that's like accidentally...
Emily fell into a cactus in the Mojave Desert, and we'll get into that.
I fell into a cactus.
At some point.
It's really not funny. I still have prickle marks on my hand and my arm.
It was traumatic, to say the least.
Yeah, so it took me a little bit to get back into hiking in this desert. Definitely, I would love to share that story to give people quite a laugh at my stupidity. Because it doesn't end in the life
no,
of Emily
No, it doesn't
Cho.
End. It doesn't end.
I promise, I do have a brain in here.
She's very smart. She is.
I'm a little clumsy. Not as clumsy as Grace, though. Oh. We used to call her Ungraceful Grace growing
Ungraceful
up.
Grace.
Because my sister, the one who lives in South Korea, only one, she is 6 feet tall, and I am 5 foot two.
Very long limbs.
So going through puberty... She was a hot mess. She didn't know up from down. She didn't know. She was banging. She always had bruises. Banging into things. Just tripping over her own feet. Her feet were growing too fast for her.
Yeah.
God, I love her.
Oh, man.
But, yeah. The will to live.
Yeah.
The desire.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, question one, like, why... is humanity so driven to find life in the universe? You know, when we talk about purpose of humanity, which is a ridiculous, obscene, high question to ask, what is the purpose of humanity?
Yeah, that's a pretty...
foolish to even ask the question. But if we could just...
It's a big question.
...play, it might be to propagate... life throughout the universe.
Throughout the universe. Oh, yes. You have talked to me about this before.
Yeah, like, you know, we're quite driven to go to the stars, and we're quite driven to be explorers. We're quite driven to make contact with other life forms, and we just happen to have a brain capable enough to make a spaceship. So, I don't know.
Do you think that... how do I ask this? I guess, do you think that it's also in part due to the fact that, I mean, this planet isn't invincible? It is at some point going to die. Our star, our sun, is going to eventually burn out.
Yeah, so eventually, you know, Earth
but
will
eventually But that's, we're talking about billions of years.
Yeah, but on a very large time frame.
Yeah, and humans, what, I mean, this is also a tough question for you because you have so many layers, but humans have only been around
200, at most maybe 300,000 years as humans in the form that we know them.
We know them, yes. Standing upright, limbs, two eyes, a mouth, all that, right?
Well, true Homo sapiens are about 200,000 years old.
Okay.
But before that, you get to like other, you know, hominid type species that are similar to humans, but not quite exactly what we see today.
It's that all of that information is also very fascinating to me, but it's just one of those things that, again, I'm grateful to have you because I have a hard time like retaining the numbers, retaining the information, retaining the names.
Yeah, it's tough to build that timeline.
That time, yeah, it's that, and that's
from the beginning
of
the universe till the beginning of humanity, to the beginning of life on Earth, to the
and
beginning
then
of society,
everything
to
that
now.
Happens to, yeah,
like what
to society.
Happened
it's
from,
just so much memorizing to me.
What happened from 200,000 years ago to the Egyptians? Basically, blank slate. Nobody knows.
That's unbelievable.
And we're talking 180,000 years, 190,000 years. I mean, like...
Like, what happened? Yeah.
Yeah, no one really knows.
Weird. Why don't you think we are able to figure that out?
It's a long time ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, we've been able to figure out tons, like dinosaurs.
Well,
we found
Egyptians
fossils.
Didn't make pyramids, didn't do the things that they did, maybe we wouldn't know about them.
Ooh, good point. Yes. No, but didn't... Wait.
Sure.
Didn't you just... You also taught me very recently that those creations, the pyramids and these petroglyphs that we see, were created on purpose to last, like, for eternity.
Forever, yeah. Well,
right? Or is that incorrect?
No, that's right. I think petroglyphs, I think, is often the word used for Indian drawings.
Oh,
whereas hieroglyphs or hieroglyphs?
Hieroglyphs,
I believe, is the word. That's usually the word used for, like, Egyptian drawings or
right. So the
carvings.
Petroglyphs that we currently see in this desert in Arizona is
like
petroglyphs
Native
from Native Americans
a couple hundred years ago.
Yes, that is correct. Yep. Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, all of the things the Egyptians did were built to with the idea of permanence in mind.
I would love to see the pyramids.
One day. They're not going anywhere.
Fair point, Robert. Fair point.
But I did want to circle back and touch on desire a little bit.
Do you want to take a quick break?
Sure, yeah, we can take a break.
We'll take a break and then we'll dive right into what is desire.
Dun, dun, dun.
We have a lot more coming, guys, so stay tuned. We'll see you soon. 3, 2, 1, action.
Howdy, y'all. We're back.
Sorry about the very emotional and slow start to this episode. It's a heavy day for us. Earth Day is always pretty emotional for us nerds over here.
Big day.
You know, we won't talk about it again, but add COVID into the mix and it's a heavy day for us. So we do apologize. We will absolutely try and pick up the pace here with this interesting conversation that Rob has planned for us.
Oh, I don't know if it's planned.
Yeah, definitely not planned.
Nothing's
like we
planned.
Said, nothing's planned. There is no script, which is hence for the reoccurring delays because we're thinking, we want to answer correctly.
Yeah.
We want to keep you guys interested.
One of the things I think that we've learned from living on the road is that like every time we make a plan, it just completely
goes to shit. Totally goes to shit.
Totally falls apart.
Rob, you couldn't be more correct in that statement.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, ooh, so what's your plan? Where are you going next?
Like,
it's like, well, you know, if the truck
We hope
up,
that the plan is this, but,
you know. If we don't have another breakdown, so maybe we'll end up here. If not, we might stay where we are for a little bit.
Yeah, we were hoping by now we would have been...
Probably in
done
Utah.
And finished with the Grand Canyon already and
yeah.
on our way into Utah.
I mean, it's April 22nd.
I know.
How in the world... Is it April 22nd?
Going on 2 months in Sedona.
That's in just Sedona, not even just Arizona.
Yeah, we said in episode one or something like that, that we got in the air in Sedona March 1st.
Unbelievable. But
anyway,
yeah, like we said, don't make too many plans. You can have a vague idea. If you're planning on living on the road, you can have a vague idea of where you want to go, you know, what regions you want to spend.
Don't book campsites too far in advance.
Yeah, great point, Rob. Definitely don't book any, especially anything expensive. Because there's also so much free land to camp on.
Yeah.
Unless you need to, like, dump and fill.
Out west, that is.
Yes. Out west is a majority, I'd say. But I don't know, on my little Facebook camping pages, there's a lot all over the country.
Freecampsites.net.
That is, you can pay us on our Venmo later for that website, people.
Yeah, freecampsites.net.
It's amazing.
Basically, it's just people uploading, like, totally available, I don't know.
Places to sleep overnight.
Concept's in the name.
But I guess the creators, you could call it, of the website, they make sure that these are
vetted and approved.
Yeah, approved sites. But just a heads up tip, I mean, they even have Walmarts. Like, it's literally anywhere that an RV
is allowed.
And a lot of Walmarts now are starting to not allow overnight parking, which absolutely sucked for us in the past because there was definitely areas that there was no, like, public land, and we were relying on a Walmart, and we get there, and there's big, new, shiny signs that say, no overnight parking.
Yeah, when we first got on the road, a lot of people would say, like, oh, you know, you
every
can always
Walmart.
Stay at Walmarts and
Walmart's
stuff like that.
Super reliable.
Little by little, like, that is going away.
I really think it's because, van life is exploding.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, in the more remote Walmarts.
Yeah, those
it's
are
still pretty available, you know, like at
cities,
the foot of Yellowstone or something like that. Like, there's a lot of RVs that when we stayed outside of in a Walmart parking lot outside of Yellowstone, there had to be over 60.
Oh, for sure.
Over 60 RVs in that parking lot.
It was strictly, yeah, for anybody
crazy.
Like venture, because it's a pretty big drive into Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I mean, it's huge. But yeah, one of the main reasons for why places are stopping is, number one, if Walmart doesn't own that lot, they don't allow overnight parking.
Yep.
So just keep that in mind right off the bat. If you see that it's in a bigger lot with other stores, you can't sleep there.
Yeah, basically any urban ones.
Yeah, forget about it.
Or suburban ones,
yeah,
I'd say forget about it. But when you're, you know, in a rural area and you see those super big
Walmarts
that are just, like, isolated, they have their own lot, that's your best bet.
And I have to be honest with you, like, yes, I know corporate America, not very good, but I'd say 95% of the time, if we have slept in a Walmart, we have at least bought one thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a great way to get us to go in and buy stuff.
Yeah. Same thing with, like, Cracker Barrel is another one. Every time, but probably, like, we've only stayed at a few, but I'd say, like, at least two of the three times, we've definitely indulged in a delicious pancake breakfast the next morning.
Good business.
A huge thank you, because I will say, I think Cracker Barrel has the best pancakes ever.
Yeah, we got plenty of sponsorship opportunities here. Free campsite.
Yeah, people. So spread the word about Keep It Moving with Emily and Rob. You know, we don't have jobs right now. I mean, we do, but we could use a little extra income, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
We're kidding, kind of.
But anyway,
really.
Welcome back to Earth Day episode 4.
Wow, 4 episodes already, Rob.
Keep it moving.
We're keeping the podcast moving, baby.
Yeah.
So, let's jump back into desire.
Ah, oh, that's where
the
we left
Earth's
off.
Desire.
Yeah.
The humanity's desire to keep living, to keep thriving. Now, is your thought going towards, are we going to be speaking more about desire on our planet to live and grow, or desire to find alternate life somewhere else? Where is the main topic for the day going?
Yeah, so the point I want to make about desire is that every living thing has desire built into it.
Okay.
So all things.
You're talking everything.
Everything.
Okay.
Grass, flies, trees, whales, tigers, humans.
What about
everything
rocks?
That's alive. Rocks?
I'm kidding.
Is another one. We're gonna pause on the rocks. We're not gonna go that deep.
You mean rocks don't have feelings?
Rocks absolutely have feelings, darling.
Oh my God. He's losing it,
people. We're not going to go there.
He's losing it.
I don't have any. I don't have any. We're joking. Kidding. We All don't right. actually. I mean.
I'm sorry. I have to make light of this podcast. We started out so slow and sad.
I'm not willing to write off that rocks don't have feelings.
He thinks rocks have feelings.
No, I don't.
He absolutely does. Oh my God. He goes, Emily, don't throw the rock. You're going to hurt its feelings.
I've never said that. I swear.
I'm kidding.
But.
He's never said that. Kind of.
We'll move on.
God, I love you.
All living things have desire.
Okay.
What does that mean?
What does that mean?
When all living things prefer life to death.
Right.
The tree, the plant in your house grows towards the light.
Yes.
The fly flies away when you try to swat it.
Yes.
The, you know, the ants are clearly going in a straight line. They're getting things. They want something. They go out and get it, and they bring it home.
They bring it back home.
You know.
A to B.
Yeah. The flower wants to be pollinated, so it grows a particular color to attract a particular insect and gives it a particular amount of pollen or nectar so that it can continue to live.
Rob, I'm loving these examples right now.
The cactus. I'm just picking things that I'm looking at.
Go ahead.
The cactus desires, wants to continue to live. That's why it has spikes on it.
Got it.
The conifer trees don't lose their leaves in the winter because they desire or they somehow want to continue to live. They prefer life to death. And like I said, I think that
goddamn flies.
The only things that we're really going to talk about scientifically within this podcast are the only things that I really often think about are things that like you already know.
Okay.
Everybody already knows that you prefer life to death.
Yeah.
But when we take that another...
I don't think people think about it in detail like you do.
When we take that another layer, like the fly, when you try to swat it, the fly doesn't want to die.
No.
The simple preference to life over death is very basic. But if you sit with it and you actually understand that desire is the thing that unifies all living things, and that desire and drive to continue to exist is the ultimate driving force for evolution. The preference to life over death is why we have cooperative, mutualistic, sustainable relationships amongst different species, because they prefer life. Now,
right.
It's kind of simple. The preference of life over death. But when you really understand it, what unfolds is an intelligence. Right? What unfolds is an intelligence.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying flies have the intelligence.
Well, I would like to kill this one fly that won't leave me alone right now.
Yeah, there's a fly that keeps landing on Emily.
God.
She keeps swatting it, and it keeps flying away.
It's so sorry. It's like really annoying. I'm listening, but like this thing is really annoying me over here. Just to put you in the perspective that I'm in. Sorry. Okay, go on. Goddamn fucking flies. Oh, I cursed again. I'm sorry. Right, so I'm sorry. Blah, 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 blah.
So when we have desire, the next layer that we have to think about is intelligence.
Right.
Flowers are literally a particular color to attract the particular pollinating insect or bird or whatever that flower wants. That flower is the particular color for a reason, so that it attracts the bee instead of the ant, or it attracts the hummingbird instead of the bee.
So you just taught me also that I think we should share this fact because it was so cool.
Sure.
Bees don't see the color red.
Yeah.
Now, what does that have to do with anything? I'll tell you. Hummingbirds... are really cool. No, sorry, I just lost my train of thought. Can you explain it?
Sure.
You're better.
Yeah. So on CuriosityStream, another plug for CuriosityStream, David Attenborough,
boom,
the guy who had the documentary about the ants, he had another one about hummingbirds.
Right.
Super, super, super interesting. Hummingbirds are incredible. But one of the takeaways that I thought was pretty interesting was that particular flowers that the hummingbird pollinates, a lot of them are red.
There it is. Thanks, Rob.
And the reason a lot of them are red is because bees can't see the color red. Hummingbirds can see the color red.
That's so interesting.
So these hummingbirds obviously require a lot of energy to keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, they have to eat like every 15 minutes or something like that. They require a super, super high energy dense diet, right? And they have a lot of nectar to keep a hummingbird going.
Right. All day long.
Yeah. So there's a lot of flowers that are particularly paired to be pollinated by hummingbirds.
Strictly hummingbirds, so that the bees don't take the food.
So these flowers produce a lot of nectar. And they're colored red so that the bees don't go there and take the nectar from the hummingbirds, because they want the plant is designed in such a way so that only the hummingbird will come and pollinate it.
That's so interesting. And I kind of relate back to, in California, there's a ton of hummingbirds. I love seeing hummingbirds when we lived in California. And I noticed that a lot of the hummingbird feeders were all red.
I didn't notice that, actually. And I'm not saying that hummingbirds only eat from
flowers. No, of course. Yeah. No. Not saying that either. But, yeah, I noticed that a lot of human-bought hummingbird feeders,
they happen to be colored red.
Yes. Hmm. I don't know. Like, I wonder if that's why.
It's probably because bees can't see it. Or bees don't. Bees.
Because,
well, I mean, bees.
Hummingbird feeder, you fill it with nectar.
Yeah.
Now, like, obviously, a bee is not going to go to a bird feeder where it seeds.
Yeah.
So, I think that the hummingbird feeder is the color red simply so that bees and other insects that require nectar or pollen don't go to it now.
Yeah.
Which
they don't see it, right? It's just that the red looks green to the bees, so that camouflage a little better. Well, that's a good question.
The heck do scientists figure that out?
I don't know the details of it, but...
Yeah, but that's so fascinating. Like, how they figured out that... I believe David Attenborough. I believe him with all my heart. Anything that comes out of that man's mouth, I will take to the grave.
Yeah.
So if he says that bees can't see the color red, I'm going to stick.
He's not out here lying.
Yeah. Bees can't see the color red.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, though. Thank you for sharing that with us.
But that is something cool that, like, most animals, you know, a lot of different animals share very different senses, very, very different perceptions of the world.
Right.
You know, your dog can smell a lot better than you can.
Oh, yes.
The eagles can see a lot better than you can.
Yes. I love watching these golden eagles flying around above us. I'm just waiting, like, it's on my bucket list to see, like, just on a regular day like today, them swoop down and grab a little lunch.
We have a lot of golden eagles here, a lot of red-tailed hawks.
Yeah, and let me tell you guys, like, since we're camping in a national forest, like, we are strictly surrounded by forest land, and these hawks don't give a care. Don't give a care in the world that we are here, and they have been some close encounters. Not that they're gonna, like, swoop down and attack us or anything, but they've gotten really close to us, and it's totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
You'll be sitting here listening to music, having yourself a day, and boom! There's a hawk or an eagle swooping down, and they just miss the little mice.
I want to see one catch a rabbit or something.
That's what I'm saying. Gosh.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
So,
wildlife viewings.
Birds and hawks and eagles, especially those birds of prey.
Yeah.
But all birds actually evolved from dinosaurs.
Raptors.
Raptors of the sky.
Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, if you ever watch a bird walk, you ever see how it, like, bobs his head?
Yeah.
And he has those two legs.
Their feet look like dinosaur feet.
Yeah, they absolutely are.
Because they are.
Watch Jurassic Park again. Raptors.
What else has...
That grew wings.
Haven't alligators and crocodiles been around since...
Yeah, so, I mean, a lot of the animals that are dinosaur, quote-unquote dinosaur-type reptiles that survived the asteroid impact, we could talk about that one day. That's crazy. But a lot of the reptiles that survived that asteroid impact 65 million years ago are ones that were able to shelter. So a lot of times you see those those alligators and crocodiles, you know.
How did they they just stayed underwater?
Yeah, basically. The animals that survived were underwater and underground, most of them. So that's why you have the mammals that survived, because they all lived like rodents, like underneath the ground in their burrows. What? And the alligators and crocodiles and things like that, that were able to be like aquatic and like get out from the elements.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to hear a joke?
Yeah.
What do you call a dinosaur that's sleeping?
I don't know.
A dinosnore.
Oh boy.
Oh my god, how funny is that? It's all I was thinking about when you were talking about
hilarious.
That.
I when I was a kid, I was obsessed with dinosaurs. Huge shout out to Mom.
Yes.
For reading me science dinosaur textbooks and space textbooks before bed every night.
Oh my god, my mom was over here reading me Green Eggs and Ham every single night, hence why it's my favorite book, and you were reading textbook about dinosaurs.
It was the only thing I was interested in.
God, you're such a nerd.
Yeah.
I love you though.
Whatever.
I'm so grateful that I found a nerd to be my future husband.
Yeah, sorry that like I'm obsessively obsessed.
You're science Rob.
With nature.
You're science Rob. That's who you are, man.
I just don't think...
Don't apologize for who you are.
I'm not. I guess I shouldn't say sorry. But
I love it.
I don't think there's anything else other than nature.
More fascinating.
There's nothing cooler than nature.
And I agree.
Also, if you talk about anything else...
It all relates back to nature.
It all is made of nature.
Yeah.
Like, literally, you're... Your skyscrapers, the iron and concrete and glass, they come from nature. Like, everything comes from the ground. Everything comes from the earth.
Yeah, that is pretty cool to think about.
Everything.
Every single thing.
Yeah.
From this tent to that camper.
There is nothing separate from nature.
Oh.
And when we talk about nature, in the future and whenever, when I say nature, I don't only mean biological life on earth.
Right.
I mean... the laws of physics. I mean, the nature of the universe. I mean, everything.
Yeah.
Literally. Everything is nature. Sorry, but
hey,
not sorry.
Don't apologize. Yeah.
On
sorry,
Earth
not
Day,
sorry.
On Earth Day, we're going to
heavy on the nature.
We're going to be heavy on the nature, so.
Heavy on the nature.
Earth Day special.
Today.
Who knows how long this episode will be.
This episode might be long. Just to give you guys a quick little heads up, we're doing like Rob said, an Earth Day special.
Yeah. 50 years of Earth Day. Do you know how Earth Day started?
That was... God, Rob.
That's because we're on the same page.
I was just going to ask you, do you know how Earth Day started?
50 years of Earth Day. And
so
how far have we gotten?
Do you know the answer?
We've gotten...
Only 50 years is not a long time.
No.
Do you know the answer, how it was started?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, go ahead.
We went to the moon.
Ah, I was going to say, does it have to relate to going to the moon?
Absolutely. We went to the moon.
Today.
What?
50 years ago?
No. So I think it was Apollo 8. So Apollo 8 was the mission where NASA sent a spaceship to orbit the moon.
Okay, not land on the moon.
Yeah, so first we sent a mission and it simply orbited the moon quite a few times.
Ah, that's the very first one.
Well, it was the Apollo 8 mission.
Okay.
Tom Hanks movie, right? Wasn't that the Tom Hanks movie? Something like
that. He did one of the Apollos.
Regardless. We're Tom Hanks fans, if you can't tell. So, yeah, we're orbiting the moon.
Okay.
And these astronauts are coming around from the dark side of the moon, and they're orbiting. And here rises the Earth. And they take that infamous picture of, quote-unquote, the Earth rise. That picture, I think, was taken in 1968. The next year, 1969, landed on the moon. And all of this imagery, you know, basically from going to space and looking at Earth, all of these pictures and imagery. You got to remember the time. Obviously, our parents could probably speak to it a lot better than we could. But,
yeah,
you know, you got the Cold War and Vietnam War and a lot of global unrest happening. And then there's this space race, and it produces these pictures that show Earth without borders.
Wow.
And
wait, you mean the Earth isn't flat?
No, the Earth is not flat.
God. Ridiculous.
Remarkably.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, God. If you think the Earth is flat, please join our call. Join our conversation. We'd love to invite you onto the podcast.
Yeah.
Question number one, if Earth is flat, why is the moon round? Whatever. We're not even going to go there.
I think it's ridiculous.
But anyway, yeah. So, you know, going to the moon, we took pictures of Earth. And then in 1970, 50 years ago, we had our first Earth Day. And wow. Then we had, you know, Clean Air and Clean Water Act. That was, quote unquote, kind of the second environmental movement on Earth. The first environmental movement was the late 1800s. With John Muir.
There he is.
Legend. And,
saw,
you know,
that coming.
Theodore Roosevelt setting aside a lot of public land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to understand, at that time, it's after the Civil War. They are building railroads across the country. They're building dams across the country. It's Western expansion. It's Gold Rush. It's, you know, the Wild, Wild West.
Wild, Wild West.
And the world is discovering how incredible America's West is.
Yeah.
You know, go west, young man. I think we took that to heart a little too much. But, yeah, so in the late 1800s, Theodore Roosevelt, you know, kicks off a huge environmental movement, Environmental Movement One, where, you know, setting aside all of the national forest land we're sitting in right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why we're not in someone's backyard.
Yeah.
And it's because of the actions that were taken, you know, back then. And
I'm
then
so
you have a
grateful,
a huge environmental lull until we go to the moon. And then you have the 1970s, which a lot of you older folks could probably remember. And now you have 3.0, where our generation is.
I remember my mom telling me that, I mean, I hope I get this story right. If I get it incorrect, Mom, I really apologize. You could tell me later on and I'll fix what I've done. But I think I do remember you telling me that she, when she was a little girl, she remembers sitting in front of her black and white TV watching the footage of the very first spaceship
people
leaving
walking
this
on
planet.
The moon?
Or was it I'm confused. Do you think she watched
One Small Step for Man?
Do you think she watched the very first
mankind.
Spaceship?
She probably watched the launch as well as stepping on the moon. That was televised around the world when Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon.
Yes. Okay, that's it. Thank you, Rob, for helping me tell that really bad story. Sorry,
no problem.
Mom.
I mean, that's what's cool. I mean, the footprints will be there for millions and millions
that's
and millions
what's cool,
of years.
Isn't it?
The footprint, yeah, because there's no, like, you know, there's nothing to kind of erode the footprints. So, you know, a lot of people have said that, you know, those footprints might and probably will last longer than humanity.
Oh, my God. Right. There's no air.
Yeah.
On the moon.
Yeah.
To wipe and swipe it away.
Yeah.
And we're back.
Howdy.
Hey, guys. So.
Yeah, if you stuck with us this far, I think you're ready for a war story.
I think they have earned the Mojave National Preserve story.
Earlier we alluded to the time when Emily fell into a cactus.
Oh boy, did I fall into a cactus.
Traumatic, to say the least.
Oh my gosh. There's just so many thorns in the desert now.
Man.
It's all I see when I walk and do these hikes. But honestly, probably one of the most gnarly, scariest places that we have been on this trip.
The Mojave Desert.
Yeah, I definitely, with springing, right now. I would definitely don't want to step a toe there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we were there after New Year's in the middle of January. So, I mean, it wasn't cold or anything. It was still very warm, but yeah. All of the snakes and scorpions and critters and deadly animals were kind of away for the winter.
Yeah, you heard it, guys. You name it, and it's there.
If you go to the Mojave Desert, go in the winter.
Go, please go in the winter. Please, for the love of God. I mean,
or just never go.
Just, yeah, you could skip it. You could just skip it.
But it is incredible. The Joshua trees.
All jokes aside, if you don't trip and fall into a cactus, and you do get the luxury of going in wintertime when, as Rob said, all of those creepy crawlies are sleeping, it's really cool. It's huge, though. Like, be prepared to be driving down some dirt roads for miles.
The Mojave.
There's also sand dunes there. The Kelso sand dunes.
Yeah.
We got to hike. Or climb, I guess you can say, to the top of the Kelso sand dunes.
It was massive. The biggest sand dunes we've seen so far.
Oh, way bigger than the ones in Death Valley.
Yeah.
Height-wise.
It was really big.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. We were, like, rolling down them.
Oh, my God,
it was so much fun. I was pouring sand out of my shoes afterwards. Like, we were little kids in a playground on those dunes. It was a great time. Fun fact about the Mojave National Preserve, which I thought was so fascinating, is it has the highest concentration of Joshua trees, more so than Joshua Tree National Park.
Yes.
Now, Joshua trees, are not actually trees.
What are they, Em?
They're just a plant. They're a cousin to the yucca plant. I don't know how to pronounce that correctly.
Yeah, I think you got it.
The yucca?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's actually just a plant. Trees are plants.
But that's okay. It's not technically a tree. It's a yucca plant.
Okay, so I guess...
But they're massive, and they're cool.
Yeah, super pointy.
Oh, my God. They were
sharp.
Like, they literally have knives all over them.
Gosh,
like, spiny things are so sharp.
Yeah.
Actually, all of the yucca plants that we see have super, super sharp.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Sharp spines.
You don't want to fall.
Once again, because when you're in the desert,
things are fighting to stay alive.
It's fighting to stay alive. It wants you to stay away from it.
Yeah. So I was getting really excited. I mean, this was our first, like, step into, like, real legit desert life. And the Mojave Desert was kind of what, as a naive child, what I always envisioned a desert to be. Like, desolate, nothing there, flat.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, there's, like, we're driving down this road, and I'm like, oh, my God, Rob, I think that's a Joshua tree. And then more and more and more and more and more. And we're in a forest of Joshua trees.
A true forest. Like, there was a Joshua tree every 5 to 10 feet.
Yeah, like, unbelievable. So... this was a pretty long road. It was getting late in the day. We had, like, lots to do, and we kind of were just driving through. So we get to, like, this teeny tiny visitor center. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah.
But anyway, so as we say, we stopped in, say hi, grab a map, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And we're talking to this park ranger, this nice girl, and on the countertop, there's scorpions. And tarantulas.
Yeah, they were dead. They weren't alive.
Yeah, they were like in the resin blocks.
Yep.
Yeah, one of those. And there's snake skin. There's rattlesnake rattles. And all of the huge beetles.
Emily's freaking out.
I'm like, what? Like, it's just thrown in your face the second you walk into this place. And let me tell you, I love nature, but I don't do bugs.
Those guys definitely are... Any place where there's not a lot of water...
A lot of bugs.
There's a lot of gnarly animals and gnarly plants.
So one of the most deadly rattlesnakes is the green Mojave rattlesnake.
Yes, yes.
One of the top deadliest in the world live and thrive in this desert. And I'm shaking in my boots here, people.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what, Rob? Maybe we could just, like, skip this.
Like we said, don't go there in the summer.
Yeah. So the park ranger tells us, she's like, no, don't worry. Like, there's really no snakes, there's really no tarantulas right now. Like, this is the perfect time to be here. And a huge weight is lifted off my shoulders. I'm like, oh, thank God. Because yes, the last thing I want to see is, or do, is die from a rattlesnake bite.
Yeah, it was like 69 degrees and cold.
Yeah, well, cold for there.
For there.
And, but she was telling us these stories. She's like, yeah, if you come during spring and summer, if I'm allowed to, I try and leave because, well, one of my friends who lives here, she was gone for the summer and she came back and her cat was dead because a rattlesnake ate it.
Oh,
came
yeah.
into her house and it ate it. So every time I leave and I come back, I'm a little bit scared to come inside and find a rattlesnake.
They just
and
get
I'm
in.
Just like,
they just get in.
Because it's so hot. They're trying to seek shelter. They're
yes.
trying to seek coolness, which is why we also spoke about in another episode that they like to stay under a car, under a vehicle in the shade because
yeah.
it's cool. It holds its like dampness under there. So really be careful if you're in the desert and getting out of your car.
Green rattlesnakes.
Unbelievable. So we feel better that all these are hidden away for the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, we start adventuring off and we go to the dunes. We have ourselves a great time. And I'm like, Rob, we find out that there's a cool little 3-mile easy little hike right in the middle of the Joshua Tree Forest.
But mind you, we had to backtrack
to
get to
it. We would be backtracking.
So we already drove through that Joshua Tree area to get to the visitor center.
Yeah.
We went right to the sand dunes. It was awesome. And then we had to backtrack all the
yeah.
way to back to the Joshua Trees.
Yeah.
And
this
like,
was
I really
strictly
wanna
because
go,
I wanted to.
I really, really, really want to go.
And he's like, come on, we'll be passing back through after we go to San
well,
Diego.
Let's be completely transparent here. When we were driving through them, Emily was scrolling on her phone or something like that.
No, I was DJing.
No.
There was no service.
All right. Well, anyway, we go back.
Come on. Give me more credit than that. You know I love looking out the window like a puppy dog. There's so much to see.
Yes.
Yeah, so my honey here was so kind, and he's like, he finally gave in because I was just like, come on, I really, really, really want to go.
Well, mind you, there's no gas stations around,
yeah.
so, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about that.
Go on.
I didn't think about that. So, I guess you can say I get my way. and we're approaching this trail, like, perfectly, like, prior to sunset. And
oh,
like,
it was beautiful time of day.
I am so excited. I am just like jumping for joy. I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like so head over heels.
Because we're in the heart of a Joshua Tree forest.
Forest
right
people.
Now.
Like, even if you go to the national park, they don't have this many trees there that are just surrounding you.
It was
you.
Very dense. Yeah.
It was beautiful to say the least. Like,
yeah.
oh my goodness. And
dangerous.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, I was being very careful, watching my step. It was a skinny, narrow trail because, I mean, not many people go to the Mojave National Preserve. Let's
yes.
be real. It's a little less traveled. So, and I'm just like totally taking in the awe and the beauty. And I'm just like
sunset.
Up close, looking at all the points and the needles. And I'm like, oh my God, Rob, like look at all these cactus everywhere. And we find out like they're called the Jala.
Yep.
The Jala cactus. And they're just everywhere. They look fuzzy. They have so many needles on them.
Yeah.
And I'm like taking all these cool pictures. I'm like up close and personal. Like, ooh, Rob, take a picture of me here.
Once again, similar to how she stuck her head in the beehive.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, she's sticking her head in cactuses now.
I was so like enamored. It was really cool.
I think she learned a lesson.
Oh, man. Okay, well, so let's continue. There was a small, tiny little trail to, I wouldn't even call it like a mountain. It was just like an overlook.
It was an overlook. It was nice. It was 1.5 miles in, 1.5 miles out.
Yeah.
So we didn't take any water with us. We were just going for a little walk.
Yep. Just going to take a quick little, you know.
Exploring the area.
Exploring, yeah. Just a little, going on an adventure.
Yeah.
And so we get to the top, and coincidentally, there is a father-son duo, and they're like, hey, like, can you take our picture? We'll take yours. And we're like, oh, sure. Like, we actually really hardly ever have pictures of the two of us unless it's a stupid selfie.
If you can't tell.
So, yeah. So, we definitely took advantage of this. They were nice guys. And so, you know, sun is setting. all of a sudden, we hear a huge, loud herd of coyotes.
Yes.
They totally got a kill. And it was just bellowing, echoing through this, like, little mountain range.
It didn't seem too far away.
It seemed, yeah, like, to put in perspective, it was very close.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I wasn't really scared. I was like, wow, that's so cool. Oh, my God. That's so cool. You think they're close?
But with that, you know, it's dusk. And we're like, all right, let's turn around
and
go back.
Perfect. Like, we'll get back, like, before it's dark. Like, it'll be great. So, we do a bow face.
Instantly.
And we're going downhill.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden.
You just.
Like, I need to take a pause. I'm having, like, flashbacks here. Like, I literally just had a flashback.
PTSD.
Going downhill. And all of a sudden, my shoelaces were not properly tied.
Once again, because this was just a relaxing
stroll.
Walk. And those are the ones that you always get in trouble on.
Yeah. Not when you don't go fully prepared.
Yes.
And my big loop that I had loosely tied got caught on the front of my opposite big toe. And my feet get all tangled up, and there's absolutely nothing to grab onto.
She's going downhill.
Instinctively, I grab and wrap my arm around a Jala cactus.
And she basically hugged it and just...
And fell.
Belly flopped.
Smashed my right knee directly onto a rock. Like,
yeah.
Head, kneecap. Full body weight. My arm is in a cactus. I have nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to grab. And I just go, boom. And Rob's like, what are you doing? Oh my God. Oh my God. What's happening?
Yeah, I was walking in front of you.
Yeah. And he thinks
I'm
just
around
being an
and
idiot.
She's sliding on her stomach.
Sliding on my stomach. So the cactus is just pushing deeper and deeper into my rib cage.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm just like, Rob's like, oh my God, MMM, freaking out. And I'm just like, oh, my knee. Oh, I thought I broke my kneecap. It hurt. So I saw stars. I couldn't, like, see. Everything was, like, black. And I just felt just, like, throbbing in my knee. And he's like, F your knee. You have a cactus in you.
Yeah.
And I look over, and my whole left side has a huge cactus branch completely stuck.
Yeah, so she had kind of hugged it. So it was like her whole arm, her hand, and then it kind of hugged the side of
my
her body.
Boob. Yep, my underboob, my rib cage, my whole arm, and my whole left hand just deep in it.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, excuse my language here. Oh, fuck. Now we have to get this thing out of me.
Yeah.
So Rob tries to just, like, go ahead and pry it out. And the needles are so sharp.
I couldn't grab it. Like, I literally couldn't even touch this thing. It was sticking
it was
out of her.
So pointy.
So I had to take my coat off and use it as, like, a...
A glove, essentially.
Yeah. And just kind of try to pick it out.
So he gets some of the ones out of my hand. And, I mean, it hurt. I definitely screamed. No tears, though. No tears. And so then
not until 10 minutes later.
Yeah. Then it came time for the ones that were, like, literally in my rib cage. And he's like, Emma, I can't do it. And I'm just like, I just hold my breath, count to three, and just rip it out. And I'm bleeding, and it's throbbing. But now the thing is...
The coyotes could probably hear us.
Yeah. And once we started our walk back, that's all I could think about, because... It was a mile and a half of me completely hobbling, like I couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
And so we later find out that I fell into the worst kind of cactus that you can fall into.
Yeah, so this cactus is specifically...
A jumping Jala.
It's specifically designed so that, like, if you bump into it or fall into it, like, it will break off.
The branches easily break off.
Yeah, so the little arms of it will break off and get stuck into you,
mm-hmm.
like... That's its purpose.
Yeah. So in addition to the long pointy thorns, there's like hundreds of tiny hair-like cactus thorns that get embedded under your skin on purpose.
Yeah.
And I mean, we grew up in Long Island, New York. We have no experience with cactuses. We don't know what to do. I just have like stupid little eyebrow tweezers that I'm trying to get these out. And it was... brutal. So I'm hobbling back to the truck.
A bloody mess.
Definitely. Yeah. Now I start like tearing a little because like I'm just in so much pain.
And she's like just hobbling. We're going so slow.
Yeah. And let me tell you, though, like, I do remember and I will never forget that sunset.
It was outstanding.
The whole time I'm walking, I'm like, ow, ow, ow. And just looking up, and the sky is just pink.
Yeah.
The clouds are just bright pink. And I'm just like, just focus on the clouds, Emily. Just focus on the clouds. Just focus on the stars. Just focus on this. Just focus on that. Like, just get back to the truck. And that's the story. And we had to sleep in a Walmart that night. And this is the times
to drive
where
2.5-3 hours.
Oh my God, you're right, Rob.
We got the ice packs, and we did the best we could, but we had to drive about 2.5-3 hours
of frozen peas for my knees
to get to the closest Walmart.
And
let me tell
you guys, accidents happen on the road, and these are the moments that you just want the comfort of your home.
Yeah.
I really just wanted to, like, take a bath, get cleaned up properly, take a shower, heal my wounds correctly, because I totally didn't, which I'll get to in a minute. And, I mean, it was rough, and that was a sad night. I remember my sister called me, and she's like, oh my God, what happened to you? And I'm laughing. I'm like, I mean, like, there's nothing you can do but laugh it off. I'm like, Grace, I literally fell into a cactus. And I'm, like, showing her pictures on FaceTime, like, of my hand. And she goes, Emily, like, that's really not good.
Yeah.
So, like, we'll speed up the end of this story here. Our friends, shout out to Nick and Marissa.
Huge.
Who live in San Diego.
Love you guys.
They took us in. I mean, our next stop was literally San Diego.
Yeah, we were on our way to San Diego.
And they took us in a hot mess and a half with complete open arms. Like, I'm telling you, like, I was just talking about needing that shower. I mean, we got there 2 days after this accident happened.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was able to just heal on their couch. I don't know what would have happened if we weren't able to stay with them for about a month. It was kind of like we were roommates. So we would, like, spend our work day, like, in their little apartment, have a great time, you know, catch up. Like, these friends we've missed so much. And then we would kind of, like, go hobbling back to our camper at night and, like, go to bed. Like, literally as if we were neighbors. It was a perfect setup.
It's kind of like living down the hall.
There's plenty of places to sleep on just, like, the residential streets in San Diego. So that was
so
no
many
issues.
Vans and
campers
on the street.
Huge van life area in San Diego. So, I mean, I literally can't walk. I get there. I'm literally pulling cactus thorns out of my hands.
For weeks.
Weeks later.
For weeks.
Weeks later.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was not good. And they were our saving grace. To be honest, to just, like, also, I think out of everybody in our life, like, prior to this podcast, I think they are the only two people who really understood, like, the struggle of what we went through the first, like, 4 months of this trip.
When we left Oregon, it was like
one thing after another, man.
It was like San Diego was the goal.
Yeah. So, Nick and Marissa, if you guys are listening, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. You know,
you guys saved us. Like, no joke. And honestly, I don't know if my knee would be okay if it wasn't for me being able to heal on their couch.
Yeah, that couch was a lifesaver. Actually, the same couch we used to have in Walnut Creek.
Oh my God, you're right.
Classic. Throwback.
Yeah. If anybody's wondering, I did not crack my kneecap, but I did have a really gnarly infection underneath that I didn't clean well enough. So all I had to do, I took antibiotics and I'm good to go.
Yeah.
All healed up.
Healing up.
Have a few battle wound scars on my hand from the cactus. But I don't know. To wrap it up, happy Earth Day to everybody out there.
Happy, happy Earth Day.
We hope that you get a chance to get outside and just be mindful today on everything that has to do with this planet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like we said, it's no secret that lately we've been destroying the Earth.
Yeah.
All of us in our own way. You know, everybody carries a carbon footprint.
Yeah.
You know.
Be cautious of what you do. Be cautious of your actions. And,
you know, let's use this COVID experience to turn a page. Yeah. Turn a leaf, that is.
Make a difference.
And, you know, change our perspective of the way that we live in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. But at the end of this, have fun. Have a great day, guys.
Enjoy the sun.
Enjoy the sun.
Because the sun. Here comes us.
All right. All right, guys. Good. Have a good one.
Good night.